You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. I'm pleased to be joined in this episode with a good friend, Rusty McMullen, who is serving as pastor at First Baptist Church in Sayre, Oklahoma. Howdy, Rusty.
How you doing, Brian?
I am doing great, and I am very excited to have you on this program to talk about a topic that is not one we talk about every day in church, namely giving and tithing. And I understand recently your church walked through a stewardship emphasis, and I was hoping you could tell our listeners a little bit what that was called and what was it about.
Yeah, absolutely. So out in western Oklahoma, the oil and gas industry has really taken a downturn as it has across the state. But specifically out in western Oklahoma, we've really felt the pinch of that. And in such, our church budget giving has dropped off quite a bit. But just to kind of preface that, I believe that tithing is a spiritual discipline just like anything else. I believe it's a spiritual discipline just like Bible study or prayer or fasting or worship or serving or any other capacity of spiritual discipline that you might think of. And so we believe that tithing is a spiritual discipline that all believers are called to be a part of according to Scripture. And so with the downturn in our economy, we've watched a little bit over the last 6 months as our budget has dwindled some a little bit. And really, it started out me wanting to preach through stewardship out of a panic mode. Kind of got at a place where I was a little nervous about how our finances were dropping and got a little nervous about how we were going to pay the bills and what we were going to do next. And really, more than anything, that was probably a lack of confidence in our God who could handle it and a God who teaches well about how spiritual disciplines help us to be faithful to Him, and He'll be faithful to us. And so in that mindset, we developed a stewardship campaign, and we called it just basically generosity. We were calling our people to recognize how God has called them to be generous. And so over the course of 4 weeks, I spent time preaching and teaching leading up to a Sunday where we would conclude that time with a Prove the Tithe Sunday. And so I spent time preaching about how we are generous because we're saved by a generous God, and that we are generous because God gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And so out of that generosity that we see in our Heavenly Father, He calls us to be generous back to Him. And that doesn't just come down to money. That comes to our lives. That comes to our words. That comes to our evangelism techniques. That comes to every single thing that we have. And so we think about stewardship in generous forms because our God is generous. And He gives to us in generosity. And then we're stewards with an undivided heart. We're people who see our God, and we see our God as being first and foremost in our lives. And so we're called to give back to Him out of generous hearts with an undivided heart, meaning that I don't worship both God and money. Yes, fear came over me a little bit whenever our budget started taking a slide, but our God has been faithful through that entire thing. And my calling is to continue to be faithful to Him, preach the same word, teach the same word, live the same ways that I do, because I'm not dependent on finances. Finances, money's not my God. My God is sovereign and supreme. He's the only God, and He's the one that can provide for every need that I have. And so my calling is to have an undivided heart towards Him. And so that means that if I have an undivided heart towards Him, that it doesn't matter what my finances look like or what's happening in the economy around me. I'm still called to be the same generous person that He's called me to be. So that's kind of how we dove into the time of stewardship in our church and the backstory of how that came about.
Well, I think that's really cool, and I appreciate your honesty, how a lot of us have come to grips. We hear the headlines about the economy. We know real-life people whose household incomes have been affected. Rusty, you know, a lot of pastors, your pastor, feel hesitant to talk about money, but we read about giving and money all throughout the Bible. Could you talk a little bit about how it was received and maybe some of the initial reactions to you taking this series on?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my preaching style, I'm very unapologetic. I believe that the Bible is the truth of God and that it teaches to all areas of Christian life that we walk in. And money's no different. And the Scriptures are replete with passages that describe to us who we're supposed to be in giving, and specifically how we steward our finances. And so as such, I took on this sermon series and presented to my church in an unapologetic format. And you know me well, and so you know that's kind of how I live my life anyway. I pretty well stand on the truth and trust that the truth of God will prevail. And it did that with our church. It was received very well among our congregation. I started with the emphasis on the very first week I stood in the pulpit and I said, we're going to spend the next 4 to 5 weeks talking about money. And I recognize and realize that most church members are hesitant to be a part of some sermon series of that nature. I recognize that some of you have a doubt in your mind or in your heart about a pastor who stands in the pulpit to preach that because, oh, that old saying, he's just here to get our money, goes around. And so I just addressed that up front and shared with our people, and they received it graciously. And in fact, over the course of those 4 weeks, I had people coming to me and talking to me about how they had never thought of money that way before. In fact, I'll give you one specific example. We had a single lady in our church, and I won't share any names, but she came to me during an invitation the second weekend. And she said, coming into this sermon series, I was nervous, I was apprehensive. I haven't been a faithful member of the church for very many years. In fact, this lady's just come to know the Lord in the last few. And she came to me and she said, I haven't been in the church very long, but I was apprehensive about this sermon series. And it's primarily because I've never been a tither. And as she walked up, she gave me her reasons why. She said, I didn't believe that God would call me as a single mom to give up 10%, which is a great amount of money for me as a single mom. I don't think that a God who's good and gracious would ask me to do that. And she said, but just in the last 2 weeks of studying the scripture together and understanding how God's called us to be generous in the same way he's been generous to us, she said, my eyes are open this morning. And she said, as of today, I'm going to begin being a tither and I'm going to give 10%. And she said, I recognize that my amount of money might not be very much, but my money joined with these people's money and these people's money and these people's money becomes a whole lot for the kingdom of God. And it can be used in a greater way than just me holding on to it and trying to take care of my son with that extra 10%.
Wow, I love that. That's powerful, Rusty. Well, you know, hearing that impact on that person's life, hearing about how your people were receptive toward it, talk about some of the scriptural teachings that have been important to you, you know, especially if there's a pastor listening to this who may feel a hesitancy toward addressing it. Talk about how they can stand on it from the Word of God and some things that were important for you as you stood in the pulpit, if you would.
Absolutely. So, as I said, I took 4 weeks and I kind of focused in on different aspects of stewardship. And so I've talked about a little bit about how we're saved by a generous God. And of course, that's just replete in Scripture. You can look anywhere, just about in any passages. Of course, I shared the Romans road as I talked about that, how we're in a deficit and our God is generous enough to look at us in our deficit and bring us up to, if you will, putting us in the black with him in our relationship with him. And out of that outpouring of his Spirit and the death of his Son, Jesus Christ on the cross, God gave his one and only Son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He gave it to us in generosity. And when we recognize that and we receive that truth in the Spirit and we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it overcomes us and it becomes a part of who we want to be. I want to be so generous and giving with everything that I have, with how I raise my children, with how I lead the church, with how I husband my wife, with every single thing, and then specifically with my finances. It's not my money. It's money that he's entrusted to me to be specifically, as you well know, a good steward of. And thinking about the three servants in the Gospels who the master left some money with them and he went away. And he had three servants and he gave them each a different portion of money. And he came back expecting them to have taken that and done something with it and recognizing how the one faithful first steward took it and he multiplied it and doubled it and created more wealth for his master, and then seeing the second servant who took it and invested in it, worked hard with it and did well and made more money for his master, but then coming to the third servant and he looks at him and he says, what'd you do with my money that I've left you to be faithful with? And he said, I buried it in the ground. And he was proud. He buried it in the ground because he thought that's the safest place for it to be. And of course, that was the servant that was rebuked. Just thinking about how God gives us his things, his relationships, his words, his truth, his finances, his possessions, to steward those things well on his behalf so that we can multiply the kingdom. And that's what stewardship is about. Giving finances is about multiplying the kingdom. And so thinking about those things, we talked about saved by a generous God. We talked about stewards have an undivided heart, which I've already kind of talked about. And then week four, we specifically talked about first fruits. And we talked about how Scripture is very clear in that it's calling us to give 10% right off the top, our first fruits back to the Lord. And, you know, the argument might be there, well, that was Old Testament passages, Old Testament scriptures, where in Malachi chapter 3, you see the robbing of God because they weren't willing to give back their portion or percentage to God. And people might make those drawing lines of, well, that was Old Testament, we're in the New Covenant. Well, even in the New Covenant, it goes above and beyond. And so what I said to my congregation is, hey, I'll make the argument with you. Sure, the 10% was in the Old Testament, but if we look at the truths of scriptural giving in the New Testament, although it doesn't indicate a 10% number, it's even exceedingly more than 10% because of what Christ did for us on the cross and then the picture of what we become through the power and person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that takes effect upon our lives. And so we give way more than just the 10%. And so we talked about first fruits being a tithe, specifically 10%. And then the next week, we talked about offering and what the difference is between a tithe and an offering, how a tithe is that initial 10% and how an offering is just the outpouring of worship to the Lord, where you look at it. And here's what I challenge my people to do. When they sit down to write their tithe check or to take the money out of the bank or however they're going to tithe, nowadays, even online, as you sit and think about online giving, I challenge my people to sit and look at their finances in this way. It's not how much money of mine I want to give back to God. It's how much of God's money I want to keep for myself. And so whenever I look at my checkbook, do I want to give 10% of my money back to God? Or do I look at my checkbook and say, all this belongs to God. So God, you tell me how much you want me to give today, and I'll be faithful to write that check or to put that cash in the plate or to sign online and to give that amount of money. So that's kind of how I preached through that sermon series.
That's powerful, Rusty. I love how you just stayed tethered to the Word the whole time and that illustration from the New Covenant, from the Old Covenant. You know, a lot of people listen to Dave Ramsey or they're part of a financial piece or another program where they're learning how to steward finances and you know, you spoke to the conscience of that individual who may be struggling with tithing. You know, is this for me? I was hoping you could expand on that more as far as money as part of obedience. Was anything else in your sermon or in your life that you can speak to this issue of as an individual household being obedient?
Absolutely. So Lindsay and I have been married for 11 years, and we've known you for quite some time of that. We have three little boys, a five-year-old and twins that are three. And money is important as well, as you know, to taking care of your household. But one of the things Lindsay and I have been felt called, and we have used Dave Ramsey, just to be honest there, we've walked through his process, and we're at this point out of debt and working towards our 3 to 6 months in the bank, which is Dave's baby steps. Step number three is the one that we're on. And part of that is the honesty of who I have been in the past. When Lindsay and I were first married, I was the youth pastor at First McAllister. Randy Adams was my pastor. And my first couple of years in ministry, I wasn't a tither. Now, I don't know if Randy knew that or anyone in staff or the deacons at First McAllister, but I didn't tithe for the first couple of years. And Lindsay and I finally sat down about 2 or 3 years into our marriage, and she just I handled the finances at home. She didn't ever look at them. She didn't know what we spent or what went towards what bills. But she looked at me one day during a budget meeting conversation, and she said, "You mean to tell me for the last 3 years we haven't given anything to the church that helps fund us through their generous giving, that we haven't helped to provide for the other staff salaries that are at our church or the budget ministries or you mean to tell me that we haven't given a dollar that helps to see, at that point, we were seeing 80 people plus baptized a year. We haven't given anything financially to help those ministries that are seeing that happen." And that shot right through my heart. Here I was a minister of the gospel, and I was failing at one of the primary spiritual disciplines that the Lord has called us to as believers. And at that point, Lindsay and I started tithing. And we started out giving 10% to the church. And by no means do I want to boast at all, but what we saw in blessings through the obedience of handling our finances in a way that says we're managing God's money. We've never gone without. There's not been a single – the reason that we're able to live debt-free today is because we were faithful to give in tithing. And the Lord's richly blessed us in people giving back to us. And that's not always finances, by the way. I want to clear up that common misunderstanding. Just because you give 10% doesn't mean that God's going to turn around and dump 11 back on you. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. But God's blessings are replete in that the Scriptures clearly teach that God knows every single need that we have. He knows the hairs on our head. And He teaches in His Word that if He knows the grass of the field and He knows the birds of the air and He takes care of them, how much more would He take care of us? And He's done that in mine and Lindsay's life. And so Lindsay and I started out at 10%, and each year we try to increase by 1% how much we're giving back to the Lord. And so you can do the math there and figure out where we're at in percentage giving. But that's just part of what we feel like the Lord's called us to be faithful to give in percentage givings back to the Lord out of the abundance that He's given to us. As far as our church goes, one of the challenges that I laid before our people was how any time that we are willing, specifically thinking about examples through Scripture, such as Daniel, being willing to face persecution or death for the sake of Christ, for the sake of how God was always faithful to bless him with His presence and with His guidance and with His safety and with His direction, if you will. Thinking about passages like that from Scripture, we know that our God is able to know our needs and to meet our needs and to protect for us and to provide for us at every single moment of our need. And so one of the things I try to teach our people is, even though what you think might be best for you doesn't match what our culture says, or even though what you think might be best for you isn't what God even gives you, God still knows better than what you think you need at that moment. So thinking about that for my life, I think that 10% more in my pocket would be better for me. Financially speaking, everybody in our culture would say that makes sense. But what Lindsay and I learned is that when we're faithful to give that 10%, it's far better for us than if we had withheld it and kept it in our pocket. The hardest months of my life in financial peace, if you will, was whenever we weren't giving a tithe. We were strapped. We didn't know where the money was going to come from. We weren't sure how we were going to pay the bills. But after we started giving and we started trusting the Lord, we've had no difficulty trusting that He's able and faithful to take care of us.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that testimony. One thing we love about Rusty is he tells it like it is, and he's very transparent. And you've really stepped out, I think, in faithfulness in doing this. A lot of people would have shied away or maybe glossed over it, and you've taken the bull by the horns. Rusty, we're coming to the end of our time here. I wanted to ask how Oklahoma Baptist could pray for you. You have served in a number of committees and in an officer capacity. You're in an important part of the state in seeing people come to Christ. How could we lift you up in prayer?
Let me share this before I finish. One of the benefits that we've seen in our church, by the way, is on that Prove the Tithe Sunday. So we culminated 4 weeks in a Prove the Tithe Sunday, and we asked every church participant, whether they were a guest or not and had been coming for the last 4 weeks, to pray about coming prepared to give a tithe. And we had envelopes that Bob Shelton provided through the cooperative program, and those envelopes had three check boxes on them. One of them said, I've never been a tither, and I'm committing to become a tither. One of them said, I am a tither, and I will continue to tithe. And the third box said, I am a tither, and I am committing to become an offering giver, basically giving above the tithe. Here's what's really powerful. So at the end on that Prove the Tithe Sunday, we brought in over $22,000, which is double any offering that we had received in my 2 years at First Baptist Church Sayre. Okay, so that's one powerful thing that happened. A second powerful thing that happened is we had 14 families who had never tithed who committed to become tithers and have since, we've had 5 weeks since then, have since followed through in becoming tithers, and so they've started tithing.
That's cool.
And the third thing, I know I got to wrap it up, but the third thing is this. Since then, our offering giving has equaled out to what we need for budget. the weeks, the months leading into that, we were behind around $3,000 a week in budget giving. So we needed about 11 and a half. We were bringing in around 8.5 to 9.5 per week. Since then, we've leveled out and our budget giving is back to where it's supposed to be. We've had 2 weeks at $15,000. We've had several weeks where it's still around that 9 to 10. But overall, in an average, it's averaged back out to where we need it to be as far as budget giving. And of course, I credit that to the Lord and his powerful work in people's lives, but also credit it to our people for receiving the conviction and being faithful to follow through. Oh, last thing. We had 3 visitors who were with us at church who dedicated to become tithers. And they're still visitors at this point. They haven't joined the church, and they're tithing.
Wow.
It's pretty powerful. So I just wanted to wrap that up. How can you pray for us? Well, in Western Oklahoma, we're still feeling that pinch as the rest of the state is as far as finances go. We know that the Lord has it. He's in control of those things. We don't worship money. We worship God. But you could still pray for us as far as there's a possibility our prison will be closing down in Sayre in the next few weeks. Actually, they're going to be laying off 900-plus employees. They have been in the process of doing that. So we're feeling the pinch on that. You can pray specifically for that. And then you can just pray for our church in general, that we continue to shine the light, be the evangelist, the light in a dark place that God desires for us to be, the city set on the hill. So thank you for praying for us.
We will. We've been talking to Rusty McMullen, who's pastor at First Baptist Church in Sayre, Oklahoma. Rusty, you're one of the people I most know that is committed to personal evangelism, so I wanted to commend you in that, and we want to be faithful to pray for you and in that part of Oklahoma. As we continue to rely on the Lord, I love what you said about tithing and giving and being obedient and faithful and trusting God for the increase. So thanks for spending some time with us in this podcast, telling your story, and we pray the Lord's blessings on you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.